Representative Hammond, glad to talk to you today. You're running for another term in the General Assembly, of course, and you've been representing the 93rd District, I believe, since 2010. Are there any particular goals or ambitions that you would have that might be different or possibly renewed ambitions if you were elected to Springfield again?
Sure. I think the most important thing that we as members of the General Assembly have to focus on and certainly have to accomplish, and that is meaningful ethics reforms. And we are seeing every day and certainly every week in the state of Illinois more and more charges and indictments and arrests at all different levels of government. And we've got to get our ethics reforms done and done properly, and we have to give our Inspector General some powers that she has to have in order to do her job. And when we do that, I think that we can get on a road to certainly, in my opinion, we can get on a better pathway for our business economy,
mm-hmm.
and how businesses look at the state of Illinois, because that's a real black eye for us right now.
Absolutely. Is there any source or common denominator, in your opinion, of different levels of corruption or just political, I guess, corruption is maybe the best word for it. Is there any common source or common denominator amongst all these different branches of corruption we see?
I think for me, what the underlying theme or goal of all this seems to be that if you do this for me, I can do this for you. And that's not how it's supposed to be done. And that is certainly not what the taxpayers of Illinois expect to be done.
Mm-hmm.
They expect to be treated fairly and know that their officials are operating above board and in an ethical manner.
And I know we could definitely talk about Speaker Michael Madigan, but to hear you just say that right there, you didn't turn it into this is a Democratic problem. Would you say that this is more of a systemic problem that goes beyond just one party?
Oh, absolutely it is. And it's gone on not just for the last couple of months or couple of years. This has gone on for decades. And this is an issue that that is indicative of both parties, of officials at the state level. We have seen mayors that have been indicted. We've seen city council members that have been indicted. So, you know, it doesn't stop in one branch of government either. And it is rampant in the state of Illinois.
Mm-hmm.
And until we put in meaningful ethics reforms and repercussions for that, we're going to continue down this same path.
You've often been in the minority party in the General Assembly, but the last 2 years have been a slight change from the previous years in that now there's a Democratic supermajority and a Democratic governor. How does that change legislating for you since you're a Republican?
Sure. And I will admit that being in the supermajority, it isn't always easy.
Mm-hmm.
But you can't let it deter you either. And I have built great relationships with my colleagues on both sides of the aisle, and I know that they respect me and they trust my word. And you know, there's only 44 members in the Illinois House, and it takes 60 votes to pass something. So you're not going to get anything done if you don't develop relationships with your colleagues. And I think that is terribly important if you are going to effectively serve the constituents that you represent.
Is there an example of something that you've gotten done on a bipartisan basis in the last term that you would point to that you're particularly proud of?
Yes. I passed a bill dealing with texting and driving, And prior to the bill that I passed, the fine for texting and driving was $75. Mm. I have a constituent that was hit by a driver that was texting while driving, and as a result of that accident, the constituent lost his leg. And went through multiple surgeries, months in the hospital, and even more months of recovery time. And so I introduced a bill that increased the fine and the penalties, and it increased the fine to $1,000. Mm. Well, many of my colleagues said, "Representative, I can't go there. I can't vote yes on that. That's way too high. That's too much money, and my constituents can't afford it." And I said, well, first of all, they can avoid it by not texting and driving would be the first thing.
That'd be ideal.
And secondly, so if you're asking me to amend my legislation, then how much is a limb worth? What does a leg cost? Mm. And I had to visit one-on-one with a number of my colleagues, and ultimately, I didn't have an absolute vote with me, but the vast majority of the members of the House voted yes on my bill, and when it went to the Senate, it did pass unanimously.
Very good. Your opponent has said that a part of the reason that health care is so expensive is that insurance and pharmaceutical companies get to call too many of the shots. I'm wondering if that sentiment is something that you would agree with, and if not, are there any ideas that you have that could make health care more affordable?
Sure. So, you know, ultimately, this is another one of those issues that we can't. It's very difficult to piecemeal these things from state to state because...
Sure.
Ultimately, you're going to end up in the courts, and that's going to cost even more money. But for example, last year I was a co-sponsor on a bill that capped insulin prices at $100 a month, and that was one small step on beginning down this path where. There are some issues as a state that we can tackle. I'm also the chief co-sponsor on a bill with Representative Tom Demmer that essentially stops the games that are played with releasing generic drugs. So a lot of the pharmaceutical companies, they'll ask some of their cohorts to hold back on the release of generics. And that way they can continue to charge some of these higher prices. So that's another bill that I'm working on. And, you know, while we may not get that passed as is, it is going to bring people to the table, and they're going to have to sit down. They're going to have to come to some agreements on what they are going to do. And... What we're not going to allow them to continue to do. So I think those discussions are happening. Mm. They can't happen overnight, but we can certainly get some things done while still encouraging the federal government to take a look at the overall picture and how we address it.
You were appointed to a commission that's overseeing the distribution expenditures of the federal financial relief funds to address the coronavirus pandemic. Is there anything you can tell us about how those federal dollars are going or where they're being spent to help residents and small businesses, particularly in the district?
Sure. And that came about as part of an agreement post the passing of the budget when certainly the House and Senate Republicans were not at all pleased that we basically gave the governor complete autonomy over how he was going to spend those funds, albeit there are strings attached from the federal government. So they they agreed that there would be a number of us that would sit on this group that would oversee. And so we get a report on exactly how those monies are being spent and what they're being spent on. And they can only be spent for COVID-related expenses. Now, you know, businesses, of course, would qualify for a lot of that because they have been subject to a lot of COVID-related expenses and certainly shutdowns and, you know, shortening their hours, all kinds of things. So we do have the opportunity to see how those funds are being spent, to comment on that. I will say that at least in the state of Illinois, much of the funding that has been allocated from the federal government is still yet to be spent. And while we have spent a lot of it, there is still a lot that has not yet been spent.
And before we run out of time, I wanted to ask you about the progressive income tax that's on the ballot, not only because to get your views on it, but also just I think there's a lot of confusing information out there. A lot of people, I think, may disagree on the facts of this issue. So if you could maybe explain some of that. I'm specifically, I guess, wondering, I'll put it this way, why should somebody that is making less than $100,000 a year right now, who would ostensibly get a tax cut from the progressive income tax if it's passed, why should somebody like that be opposed?
Well, you know, when people talk about, you know, here's what you're going to pay and here's what you're not going to pay, first and foremost, the amendment that is on the Constitution simply asks the question, do you want to go from a flat tax to a graduated tax? There are no brackets, there are no rates in that question. So those brackets and rates are yet to be determined. We have seen some suggestions, and when you look deep into those suggestions and they talk about the folks that are going to save money, under those proposals, an individual earning $12,800 a year would save 50 cents a month. So I don't think that we're getting the full picture. And the biggest problem is, Cameron, we cannot generate enough money by only taxing the upper 3%. It is going to have to touch the middle and probably the lower class, lower tax rate, because we have $7 billion in unpaid bills. We have a budget that is $5 billion out of balance. And in that alone, you're looking at over $12 billion. And so at what is being proposed only generates a little over $3 billion. So the money's got to come from somewhere. And I believe that it will not only go to the 3%, but it will go to the middle and lower rate payers as well. And I'm also very nervous that it will tax retirement. As far as I can read and research, every state that currently has a progressive tax taxes retirement.
So in a sense, you're saying it would make it easier to raise taxes in various forms that may not be as apparent as it may seem from the ballot question. Would that be fair to say?
Absolutely. That would be very fair, yes.
We've talked about this many times before, and it's a complicated issue, but as far as handling structural reforms, as far as the debt and the fiscal situation in Illinois, what is kind of the broad strokes of what you would be advocating?
So 4 years ago, when we put together the budget for the state of Illinois, we sat down as members of the General Assembly, as members of our appropriation committees, and we went through the budget line by line. the end result for that year was a balanced, agreed budget. I believe that's the process that we can use and we should use, and we've already proven that it's worked.
So you can, you're saying the budget can be balanced, it's just that there are things that get in the way? Or, I mean, how would you describe that?
You know, everybody has their favorite pet area.
Yeah.
Pet, you know, I don't want to cut that.
And, yeah.
You know, then I don't want to cut that. And, well, we could, you know, maybe we could cut a little bit here, but we need to raise this here.
Mm.
But when you sit down as a group and you are, you honestly come to the table willing to work with your colleagues and not play any games, you can do it. You can accomplish it.
Well, thank you so much for your time today, Representative Hammond, and best of luck to you. Is there any place is there any place that people can go to get more information on you or what you're running on if they would like to?
Sure, and I believe that site is Noreen Hammond, NoreenHammond.org.
Okay.